Hey, folks, welcome to the show. Hey, Sharad, what's up, man? How are you?
Sharad Tank is the flavor of the month, at least at Transwind.
Yeah, 2-on-2. Yeah. We spoke with OfficeNet last week, which obviously looks at things from a hire to retire framework. Yeah. Today we have with us Workroot, Manikant Challa, co-founder and CEO. Workroot obviously is an AI-powered resume builder, and there is also a very interesting job search play within the product and the platform. And hi, Manikant, welcome to the show.
Manikant, how are you?
As part of our extensive research before any of these conversations, we obviously went through LinkedIn, and we saw that you started out in the US, you were at Penn State, then you had a stint of different roles all in West Coast, East Coast. Then in 2017, I think you decided to set up Workroot out of Hyderabad. What was the problem statement? What was the pain point you saw? And this is 2017, this is pre-AI era, right? So at that time, at least pre-AI era in terms of mainstream narratives. Pre-COVID and pre-AI, exactly. Yeah, so... What was the pain point you saw and you thought, let's solve it?
So, I did my undergrad in the US. I went to Penn State, studied information science technology. And while I was in college, I had the pleasure of working with a few professors where we were building various applications for the university, where, you could aggregate local news into one platform or so. And that kind of moved my interest more into the product side. How you can build user experience and how you can actually build interfaces that would make everyday life easy for people. Then I had the pleasure of moving to New York after my graduation, and had the great experience working with founders over ex-Microsoft and Facebook and back then employees from these organizations, where I directly worked with them in the fintech space, where we were trying to eliminate ATM machines, where a consumer and a provider would kind of exchange cash, whether it's $5 or $10 from like local vendor or a newspaper seller or so. Mm-hmm. And I also had the experience of working for a social networking platform called Dilmel, which is now acquired by Match.com. And I kind of worked as a product for these startups at the beginning stage when they started. And that kind of gave me a good aerial exposure towards dealing with multiple stakeholders to build a solution or to solve a problem. And my long-term vision was always to move back to India at some point, because I went there when I was 17. And, after a point, I'm like, there's a lot of scope in India. And right after I graduated, when I came to India, that was 2015-16, where the boom of Jio kind of really helped people get more into the mobile space, and where people started treating data more openly, saying, okay, we could access mobile phones and use data. Because prior to that, we were very specific as what sort of plans we purchase, and giving more importance to internet than the cellular stuff of it. So that was one aspect. I wanted to do something in the mobile space primarily.
Got it.
The second was, when I did move back, I was exploring I have a few other ideas in mind. I really struggled a lot to find developers or engineers who could help me build a solution. And I kind of went into the traditional portals and I could not understand anything. And definitely back then, UX and UI were not as much prominent, or like people didn't give that much importance to it as much as it's being given now, at least in India.
Right.
So then I couldn't really find any freelancers or engineers. And I also found, found the mindset to be the primary job, relaxation, things at home, and then the freelance, if people wanted to do any part-time or anything. There was a lot of struggle for me to also find someone. And with my experience of, working in a dating platform and a fintech platform where I dealt with multiple stakeholders to solve a problem, kind of wanted to bring that into the mobile space, where you easily build a profile, you easily are able to find an opportunity or interact with demand and supply. So that's the whole origin of how Workroot started, where, it started off with swipe right to get a job, swipe left to pass a profile. And eventually we've kept on building a product. Now we kind of become a complete career development and recruitment platform.
Right. So effectively, in terms of like when you were looking for talent for your own setup, that kind of pushed you to look at this problem at a, I would say, more larger, more comprehensive manner?
Definitely, because I mean, I feel back in 2016, it wasn't as easy as it is today to like quickly post an opportunity or go explore an opportunity like in a job that you're interested in. And back then, again, you didn't have a lot of platforms on the mobile. If you had to build a resume, you had to be dependent on some professional coming and helping you build it. You don't know if the grammar is right. So there's so many pain points that were there for entry-level workforce or freshers then. I've also seen a lot of my friends do have that interest of, okay, exploring some relevant opportunity, but they really didn't know where to, like, you know, go and then find that. So, you know, collective of all these, but primarily where what I faced on myself, you know, from my own end, in terms of what, how I could kind of solve this, so like instantly connect demand and supply.
Interesting, because, you know, Nick, if you look at the structure of the, or the various modules on your platform itself, they're very actionable oriented, right? Like you have a resume builder, you have a CV builder, you have a cover letter builder. Like, you know that those are the two or three things which are core to the process. Then you also have a job search side of things. In terms of, let's talk about things both from a supply and a demand standpoint. From a supply standpoint, like, how is the job search element different here? I mean, you obviously have, you know, things like Indeed, Naukri, LinkedIn, right? Is there like certain, like you mentioned freelancers in the beginning, you mentioned entry level. What kind of focus area is there from a supply standpoint?
Okay. So freelancer was one of the experience I told you as how I felt that kind of originated me to, you know, building this. But we primarily focus on the entry level workforce, 0 to 2, 0 to 3 years experience. It's highly people who are graduating from college or, you know, just looking for that initial job change from after the end of first placements. And we're more focused on all the solutions are more driven from a B2C standpoint rather than a B2B standpoint.
Okay.
That's why we have the resume builder, which is the starting funnel for a job seeker. You know, you go build a CV, everything revolving a resume builder that would help anybody, like whether it's constructing sentences, doing the basic review, like, you know, AI resume analysis that the kind of scores that it gives you, or the ATS score that it helps you when you compare to any job description and see where you stand. So that's how we've kind of originated and created the platform in such a way that we help more job seekers. First, you know, a company is a major aspect of having a digital profile ready that could be instantly be able to like share it to anyone. And I think the later part is always the job search where they're exploring opportunities. But the initial part, we wanted to make this easy so that the employers are also kind of, you know, making sure that whatever profiles that come to their dashboard, they're all structured. You know, structured. You don't need to worry too much about the format or irrelevancy coming into play, whether you're looking at like any core requirements or so. So that's how we've constructed this, so that employers find it more easy. The minute they post an opportunity, they don't need to worry about how destructured the resumes or the cover letters or the CVs are. And that's how we also help the employers. But primarily, workers being more driven from the talent provider or the talent side, where we also collaborate with education institutions. So I'll take an example and give you this. We've built the resume builder for the consumers across the globe. It's completely active for consumers across the globe even today. And on top of that, we've added a layer where education institutions already have, let's say, 500 students are graduating every year. We go and provide the same solution to the education institution as a SaaS, where all the 500 students also get access to this.
Right.
So that's how, end of the day, the students or freshers are building a profile because their end goal is to get a job. So in this, how the job search works for us is, if I'm an end user, I could create my profile and then explore an opportunity. If I'm an end user from an institution, I will still be able to do it, but monitored by my institution, where I'm actually going and applying to you know, jobs or any companies that are coming for placements. So that's how our solution primarily works. And the same we've also extended for the staffing companies across the country, and also we've recently launched, and we're also are expanding to Southeast Asia and Middle East regions now, where the same way how the talent management can be done, the ATS can provide you scores, how an agency or an institution can, you know, manage their talent and then reach out to more employers and showcase their talent. That's how our solutions are completely structured.
Sort of, you've also lived and worked in the West, right? And from our experience as well, like headhunters or agencies used to play a very big role in the general recruitment cycle, probably not in the 0 to 2 year age bracket or 0 to 2 year experience bracket, but subsequently, is there. Is there sort of an angle here to position yourself as the going forward as an agent or the middleman in connecting the professional to the final job by providing an end-to-end solution services? Because at the end of the day, you have a profile of all the people who are sort of coming onto your platform. They'll probably move from job A to job B to job C and will interact with your interface at some point or the other. And it will be multiple touch points, I guess, right? There'll be a new line added. So is that sort of value to have that wholesome approach towards an individual and sort of be the career partner?
See, absolutely, Sharad, because we've built a consumer platform called the Resume Builder.
Yeah.
Now, the same thing is also used as a SaaS by institutions or agencies. Now, the only difference here is, as an individual, I'm only exploring opportunity on my own. And as an institution, you know, they're able to go and access companies that are part of their talent pool alongside of what is already outside. End of the day, what we've built for consumers is a global product.
Yeah.
Where, you know, we're more digitally driven because that's available in both mobile and web across all platforms. What we primarily do here is we have more than 500 plus colleges that are using our Workroot platforms today, where they manage their talent, they help their institutions, you know, the candidates build their profiles and something. So the same solution is also, you know, replicated to the staffing unit, because end of the day for us, it's the talent. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, 1 year or 2 years experience. So ideally, what we have for the global market is the same solution where staffing agencies with more experience kind of come and use it. But because we've predominantly been in the India region over the last few years in terms of our offering, we've seen more education institutions adapt to our solutions than the staffing agencies.
So essentially, another question on that is there an advisory angle to this value proposition? Are you in a position to sort of even advise, let's say, companies or education institutions, hey, these are 50 guys who have sort of used the Resume Builder for this particular role or have used this Resume Builder. In our view, this is the order of preference in which you should probably engage with them. Is there that that advisory subjective level, angle to that? And the reason I ask is, right now, this product is absolutely digital first, highly scalable, works like a charm. The moment we start getting into a little bit of advisory element, right, it sort of becomes more hands-on, it becomes slightly less scalable. So how do you think about it is my question there.
So when you mention advisory, we probably term it in a different terminology here. But end of the day, we do give the score. The employers that are accessing the talent pool, let's say you come and post a job, you will still see 10 profiles, right? I'm giving an example of 10 profiles. You will still see 10 resumes which are created on Workroot. And you will still see what the compatibility score is, where they fit in your job or something. So absolutely, that is already available and that we provide. But we don't go too much into like the insight of this skill set is at like X percentage or Y percentage, but what is the primary criteria the employer would like to know about a profile? You know, what is their skill set? What is their job domain roles? Where they work? Are they compatible to this job? Any basic screening questions that they have for the job? All of that is already available in the system.
As a user, when I say as a user, I mean as a consumer, right? Say I'm a student, finally a student about to enter the job market one way or the other. I mean, typically the journey I would have is, say I go to like one of the conventional job search platforms. They would have like a preset form to create a profile, right? And they would have some templates, which are kind of pre-populated if I want to use them. Yeah. And nowadays, I think I'm sure a lot of them also have some sort of assisted AI, like a co-pilot of sorts, you know, which helps you. But the thing is that whatever resume or CV I create, it is like a very captive input for that platform only. It's not like I can take a PDF of that and actually do something out of platform or out of ecosystem.
Yeah.
Whereas you are providing resume building or CV building pretty much as a service, like you are kind of putting it behind a plan, right? And I'm assuming your job search part is monetized separately. From that standpoint, like how does the from a product experience or a customer experience point of view, how are things different? Like what would be the typical journey for me to, you know, like say I take a monthly plan and I, you know, kind of sign up in one of your tools. do you create like a resume which I can actually use universally? Like even like say there's a role available in entry level role available in BCG or Bain, and let's say that role is not actually listed on your platform. Is the end result that I create through a work route good enough for me to email it also to someone, right? I mean, outside the ecosystem. Yeah.
So, I mean, we make it a lot more easier than what you mentioned, because you don't even need to email them. You, when you come on to Workroot and create a resume, we create a whatever URL for you.
Okay.
So it's going to be workroot.com/Nikhil Arora. So you could just enable it or disable it at any time you want.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say you're applying for a job in BCG or McKinsey. All you need to do is just send them the URL. And the minute you're updated at your end here, like 5 minutes before the interview, it updates real time, so they could probably just open the URL and then have a look at it. So it's not like that they have to come to Workroot to explore.
Right.
And we also give that provision for the consumers where the resume builder does act as a complement with job search, but it also acts as a standalone platform where you just want to build a CV and then you want to, you know, share that to someone. Or let's say that, for an example, if this was an interview and I had to like show you my CV, rather than you opening inbox, I could just share my screen and then open that URL. And then I could give you the URL. You could just scroll through and see everything about my profile. So that's how easy we make it. And the URL is accessible for any user, for lifetime. So we don't block it. Yeah, we do have other elements of how we monetize in terms of the premium model, where we have a lot of other features that are accessible in limit or without restrictions. But the link is always active lifetime for anyone. And it's customizable. The minute you change your CV, any input on your profile through the application, it's reflected on the website.
Right. And how much, you must be seeing a lot of matching happening, right, on the platform. How much of it is captive? And how much of it is, I mean, does this BCG example even happen in reality? I think I'm not even very relevant right now because, probably I looked for a job 15 years ago. So the world has obviously moved on. But I come from an age where it was all email, PDF type of a framework, right? And even today, like even when we are recruiting, often the agencies or vendors we're working with just sends us like 20 CVs. You know, and we're obviously boutique setup, so you're not representative of your typical recruiter on your platform. But how has the world moved on? You know, like are people looking at third-party URLs and they are kind of taking an assessment? Those who are not even part of your ecosystem.
See, I mean, it's about how I forward, right? Even now, let's say we met for coffee and I happen to learn more about your company and you, and then I wanted to share my profile to you. There's one way that I could take your contact number, you know, send my PDF or email my PDF, then you forward it to someone, or I could just send you my URL and then you would send it to the referred person and then they immediately contact. So end of the day, like again, the URL is authentic. If they go and open the URL, it has complete
information
of Workroot, and then they can always go back and see the credentials of the platform or the website as well. So we've also seen this a lot with freshers, because with freshers, you really don't know who you're interacting with at any given time. And let's say there's a company that comes to your college or an institution suddenly, and then they just want to know more about your profile. You don't need to create a mess there and then worry about whether you send. You can just send the URL. And we've seen that happen a lot with job fairs or any other activities or placement drives that do happen in institutions, across India primarily.
And it's probably editable in the back from the back end, so that we get much more long term, I guess. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to ask you a little bit about your thoughts on pricing, right? It's obviously there's a SaaS element to the pricing, there's a monthly subscription price. And when we look at resume, right, it seems like a service that you need once every 2 or 3 years, let's say. I need to sit on the computer for, let's say, 1 hour every 3 years is probably what I would require when I'm changing jobs, let's assume. So why does the subscription model make sense for something like that? Obviously, there are other value-added services, perhaps. And why not a per transaction or per resume or per edit kind of a pricing model? Just want to get your thoughts on something like this, because it is subscription, but it's not something that you look for every day. So,
correct. So, but ideally, when I start my job search, the tendency or the mentality of entry-level workforce ideally is they take about a month or two, because you're constantly seeking feedback from people.
Mm-hmm.
You're constantly thinking about what to modify, and you just want it to be better by the day. And when you do start, with the whole search for job, the first job that you apply towards the eighth or ninth job that you apply, you see you're more matured in terms of, okay, like, you know, I might have to like change my resume or like, you know, add the skill set. Oh, I have this skill set, but I forgot adding it. Like at least not 20% of it. So that process usually takes about 4 to 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at the same time, we've also seen the trend is most oftentimes now what's happened is freshers do work in an organization. The first job, it's ideally between 6 to 8 months.
Yeah.
And they immediately explore something and then they go and then they need a service again to change it. That's why we kind of kept it 1 month or 1 year, keeping in mind all of these aspects. And they don't need to worry about, okay, like I don't have access to like those services that I've, you know, kind of used at the beginning. So that's how we see how the premium plans also work. But yeah, when you look at on a platform also, a lot of the year plan subscribed users are all experienced professionals with more than 3 years of experience.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the times we see freshers with 0 to 2 years opting for the 1 month.
Yeah.
Because they get in it and then that's when they start, you know, realizing and then they start modifying their resume to make it perfect over a couple of weeks.
Right.
And just one or two more things, right? One question that I had, like when we look at broader HR tech, right? Let's say I get a resume from a prospective job seeker. Like there are two things that we often think about, right? Which come very naturally. A, is there anything fake in here? Or is this actually genuine? Whatever the experience, whatever the university grades, whatever is being quoted, is it being fact checked? Like that's one of the things that we say, right? Okay, he sent us, but how do we fact check? And the only way we can fact check is probably do a high level correlation with what LinkedIn says. And we have these rule of thumbs in our mind. Okay, he must have worked here, he or she must have done this. So that's one aspect. And the second is a lot of people want to see fit, right? In terms of there are now psychometric tests available to sort of use that as a tool. Is there a plan to solve for these two problems as well? If so, are you solving it right now? Especially the fact-checking piece. Like, how are we validating the authenticity of the inputs from a job seeker?
So we've come across one such case. You know, fact-check is definitely a bigger problem now, not just for us, for the whole industry.
Yeah.
Where fundamentally, you would get the proper validation through a background agency itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we being a technology platform, you cannot display the technology where you go and request credentials from every employer to come and approve for each CV. So we collaborated with few agencies where, you know, if they want to avail that external service, they could kind of get it verified. And, you know, one of the institutions that we worked with kind of wanted that connection also. So what we do is when we provided the resume builder services to them, we've also collaborated with an agency. So their resumes are also having certain things like tick mark next to their experience because that's already been verified.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So aspects like this is what we've done, but we're not doing this as of now completely for the global audience. We're only doing it for any B2B customers that come to us with a pool of talent. That is the first question that I could answer. The second one is the psychometric test, right? Very similar. Now, let's say I have a resume of 1 or 2 pages. And I went to an external platform and then performed my course. They generate a report. We are always open to taking that report and attaching it. Again, we're not doing this for direct consumers yet, but there are certain institutions that are already creating a report that they attach to when the placement drives happen. Or like, you know, for example, like a staffing company, they specifically deal with only full stack and QA professionals in Hyderabad. So one of the solutions that we build for them is, while we gave this, they already have various other platforms they use where they're PDFs. So along with that URL, we also extend that document as part of it. So when you're scrolling through your resume, you see your resume and also you see the test results.
Right.
But we don't, I mean, it's a tailored service as of now that we provide to B2B clients.
Makes sense, yeah.
I'm very curious to understand, what's the AI intervention here? I mean, in terms of your, from a user standpoint, say I'm on your resume builder or your CV builder. I mean, is it like some sort of a GPT-like interface at the back end where I, you know, put in essential questions and then get some sort of an output from it? How does that part work? And secondly, cover letter is very customized subject to the recipient, right? Typically, or subject to the recipient and subject to the role. How do you navigate that via technology?
So the first question in terms of how we use AI, definitely one element of it is we kind of enable it with GPT, where you're looking for a real-time writer and you just want to construct sentences, that does that. The second element is where we give you an ATS score when you compare your resume to a job and see where you stand. Mm-hmm. And with that, what we do is, rather alongside of we generating just a quick score comparing, we also have a lot of data in terms of the jobs that were applied for, jobs that were published so far. So there we use part of AI where we kind of analyze the resume and then give them a score on what their title could be changed to, what their skills.
But like my resume typically would be a single document, right? Or a single link. And and see, I have applied to like five different roles. And at entry level, it's pretty common that the roles might also be slightly not really adjacent. They might be quite wide in terms of the spectrum, right? So the ATS score basically will tell me whether this format of the resume is, what's the suitability or compatibility with role A, role B, role C, role D. Is that how it works?
Yeah. So I have to come and add the role A information.
Right.
Then I can compare and see where I stand. And we also have the cushion to have multiple resume.
Okay, so I can fine-tune it depending on the...
So I can have multiple players, and the same thing with cover letter also that we showed. Like I can have, let's say that 2-3 versions.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I could name it saying BCG is one, McKinsey is one, you know, another company is one. So I could do that, and then I could have multiple formats. And I mean, I feel we're limited to 3 because the more you give, you know... You don't want to confuse the user experience end of the day.
Sure. Is there some human QC element which also comes at the back end in terms of like, are there some suggestions? I mean, is there like some sort of a real time support I get from the back end as well, whereas, you know, a consultant can actually give me some inputs? Or is that something that you don't want to get into because of, you know,
all these reasons? We don't market that as much, but we do have professional writers that we collaborated with. If anybody is really seeking that, you know, a result or service, then we connect to them so that then their usage of, you know, focusing on AI, they don't need to worry much about it because they're giving and putting all the hopes on the writer to do that job. But we do have that service, but we don't like proactively market that as much as the other ones.
Understood. What's the, in terms of, from a business model standpoint, like you said that you have the monthly plan and the annual plan. Now, that's obviously for the resume. That's supposed for the resume, CV, and the cover letter builder end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
Then there's this job search element. So, would love to understand what's going on there from a monetization standpoint. And
so, sorry.
No. And also on the monthly versus annual. Like you know, we keep on interacting very regularly with subscription businesses, right? And a lot of them say that, you know, we actually find the monthly plan to be more useful because there's a regular feedback in terms of renewals versus an annual plan. And annual plans, typically what happens is that unless you're a power user, if you're a regular user, renewals are low. There is low amount of engagement. And, you know, then the user kind of tips off. Whereas if someone is on a monthly cycle, then it's more feedback oriented. I just want to understand your views on that because you're not the typical subscription platform. It's a slightly different offering. Yeah.
So we deal with B2C, B2B, and B2G in terms of our model. With consumers, it's a monthly and yearly.
Right.
But most of our revenue also does come in from the B2B customers when the education institutions, they offer like the yearly plan because that the whole year round, you're constantly hoping. And the minute those users are opted for the year plan and then they graduate, then we should kind of market the 1 month plan to them because then you're out of the institution and you're probably looking for that service, not immediately, maybe after a couple of months or so. So that's how we took on the job search. We've still kept it a free platform for the employers to come and explore talent and find talent. And we also, in terms of what we...
So there's no listing fee all
of discussed so far,
or anything?
As of now, nothing. As of now, no. We've not, included that. That's something we have plans for end of the year, to begin with. Alongside that, B2B, we also do build digital employment and exchange platforms for the governments where we completely give the technology where they could use it for the private sector to cater to the workforce in terms of skilled, semi-skilled or unskilled workforce. We worked with Government of Andhra Pradesh in the past. We've been also operating and we've completely provided the technology for Government of Telangana also. The platform is called DEET, which is Digital Employment Exchange of Telangana. So it really acts as a catalyst where it connects job providers, skill providers, and job seekers. So that's another B2G, solution also that we provide. And right now we're also discussing with few like national, like, you know, state governments within India and also international companies in providing the same technology.
But it's interesting, you know, because, I mean, number one, in terms of your from B2B versus B2C, like from a revenue standpoint, which one is the larger, more significant pie? That's part one. Secondly,
it's B2B.
B2B, right. And when it comes to B2G, like that's like more of a white label solution offering, right? I mean, it has a different trajectory versus the platform, I would imagine. Because I'm presuming like with governments, there must be a fair amount of customization that you need to do, right? So
I wouldn't say it's a lot different. I mean, obviously what we cater to B2B, B2C in terms of staffing agencies or institutions is a little tailored, but at the end of the day, like what we provide in terms of technology to B2G is a ready-made solution where you connect employees and job seekers through an Uberization of, you know, location-based jobs.
Got it.
And where you could broadcast.
So it's more about like capturing
information. Right. Yeah, it's more of that. And there's not a lot of customization because we've kind of done quite a bit of research and we've been associated working with providing this technology to B2G stakeholders for the last 5 to 6 years as well. So we don't really see a lot of different requirements when we go to each stakeholder.
Right.
And all of the platforms are multilingual in regional languages and international languages. So that's already been taken care of since the beginning of when we built the platform.
In terms of growth and sort of the vision over the medium to longer term, obviously, I think raised some around 500K from the family office or the first pre-seed round, let's call it.
Yeah.
What is the sort of strategy going forward in terms of capital raising and sort of even geographic growth? Because I think that's also something you alluded to.
In terms of the geographic growth with our solutions, we've seen a lot of educational institutions adapt to this solution. While we do that, now we're extending our solution to the Middle East and Southeast Asia. That's something that we have in our plans for the next 6 to 12 months, where we want to enable more, smaller to medium-sized staffing companies to adapt to it so that their talent management and, you know, how they could share their profile and how they could also connect with more and more employers to showcase their talent, is it? So that's one primary thing in terms of our growth plan. In terms of fundraising,
just one thing on the geographic growth plan is vernacular element something? I mean, that's true for India as well. But is right now, I'm guessing everything is sort of English forward. But is the play? Can it be driven into local regional languages such as the Telugu and other things that when you talk about overseas, Spanish or the German or an Arabic language? Is that something that you think about?
We don't have that directly in our roadmap, but we've collaborated with the people who don't specialize in that. And, we also didn't want to like completely have too many things, we're indulged in and, where it's required in terms of how the technology operates and connects the stakeholder to the other stakeholder is what we facilitate. In terms of learning or assessments, we've not really indulged in any of those yet because I feel that that's again a completely different field and we don't want to move our focus from how we are providing the technology for job seekers or job providers or the agencies, how they use.
Sure. Yeah. And in terms of capital?
Yeah, in terms of capital, we are in the discussions right now to raise our Series A round. So that's currently ongoing discussions that we've been having with the stakeholders.
Okay.
Right. Absolutely. In terms of international expansion. I mean, just one point, because you mentioned Middle East, and I think I saw some press on US as well. One point that was kind of raised was that you almost can do 10x of pricing. That way it's a more lucrative market from a revenue unlock standpoint. But CACs are also higher, right, in these segments, especially in the US. And US, I assume, is fairly competitive from the standpoint of, and it's a fairly formalized market. So how do you, are you doing right now small pilots within certain use cases or within certain industries? And then the idea is to assess and build a strategy. What's your view on that?
Yeah, so with US, when we did do a strategic investment of $500,000, in 2022, right. The goal was also to launch in the US because the family office is coming with a lot of experience running, consulting and, staffing, experience over the last 2 decades. So that's the part there where we're capitalizing on and then adding technology to it. So the existing clientele could also adapt to it. So yeah, we're not looking at a small pilot. We have, I mean, because the technology is already available and there's a lot of pool of clientele that's already there, you know, we're slowly, you know, letting customers adapt to that solution in the US market. So yeah, in the US market, we are kind of operational as of now. And, you know, what we want to provide to the Middle East or Southeast Asia, because we have seen these two regions also drive a lot on consulting where the attrition is pretty high.
Right.
Where, you know, people are kind of moving from one job to the other. And then we've also seen a lot of smaller to mid agencies just want one element of it where they're able to connect to more employers, you know, and then kind of move their talent or, like, you know, promote their talent.
Got it. How's been the, I mean, I know you're kind of in the process as of now, and I'll take the liberty of being a devil's advocate here. Like, in terms of your conversations with funds, how has that journey been? Because I do understand, in terms of from a technology product standpoint, it's a very exciting offering, and you know, you have a nice, I would say, funnel, which brings people in, right? That's like what you are doing at the resume, CV, and cover letter end. That's something which I think all of us at some point in time when we were students faced, right? So that is something I totally, you know, can identify with. But, you know, as a fund, are there any pushbacks or are there any challenges that you face when you're actually pitching your company? One thing might be that, okay, you're like, for example, government risk is something which a lot of funds often get a bit, you know, cagey about, right? Or the fact that you're doing both a consumer facing as well as a business facing. A lot of funds might say that, okay, pick a lane, right? I mean, B2B and B2C are very totally different dynamic. I totally understand your argument as a business operator of why you are doing it. Because I mean, effectively,
it's the same platform end of the day.
Precisely. I get it. But yeah, how has the feedback been from the market on these points?
No, we've gotten a few M&A offers as well, you know, and we're also looking at Raven and looking at strategic investors in the global side more than just in India, because we feel that with the solutions that we have, there's a lot of scope, not just in India, globally as well. And there's a lot of emerging markets, like when you take example of Indonesia or Philippines, there's a lot of these entry-level workforce or, you know, people now exploring more white-collar jobs,
right.
You know, that are there. And also we've seen in UAE also, like, it's slowly picking up in terms of the white collar, not just the gray or blue. So yeah, we're discussing with a lot of stakeholders across the globe, not just in India. And yeah, I mean, I could pretty much say as much right now, you know, it's not been that difficult. And it's also like, you know, we're not looking at just raising capital, you know, just for the sake of it. We're looking at what strategic value that could kind of help us, you know, kind of have that global expansion.
Got it. No, I mean, I totally understand. I mean, effectively, you need that right partner as well, right, for the long run. It's not just about the capital. No, thank you so much, Manikant. This was very interesting. And we wish you all the best for, you know, larger and more significant milestones in the future. We'd obviously be cheering for you from the sidelines. That, it's Nikhil Arora with me, Sharad Topran, signing off.